Hi, and welcome to How Not to Think. The podcast gets you thinking about your thinking. Today, I'm delighted to have with us Jenny Edwards. She is an expert at video communications, videos and photographs. She has been working in this field for almost 15 years. She does a lot of different opportunities, doing video, helping people make videos, and of course, special occasion photography, which she excels at. And also she runs courses in helping people improve their videos in this tech world. Seems like everyone's got their own TV station, but some of us need some help in how to present ourselves appropriately. And hopefully we're going to cover all of that. Anyway, enough from me. Jenny joins us today from San Diego. Welcome so much.
Thank you so much, Howard. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, hello. Great to see you again. And for the listeners, I did participate in one of Jenny's courses on videos and websites, which was really helpful to me, and I've really enjoyed working with her. First question, and probably only direct question, is tell us a little bit how you got engaged and involved in this field.
Well, thank you so much for asking. Yes, it has been 15 years, and I actually began doing graphic design originally, and when I started my own business and took that leap of faith, I was thinking, oh, I'll just continue doing graphic design. I'll do some photography here and there. And then the photography just took off. And the more that I learned about it, the more I wanted to also add video. Because, you know, you mentioned doing events, live events and celebrations. And then I understood, oh, people need video for their marketing. I was using video to market myself, right, and really getting involved at the very beginning stages of like Facebook and YouTube and all of these things like years and years ago. And then understanding I need to help people with this too. And I've been studying public speaking and really all of the tools that you need to be a better public speaker on stages. And as everything pivoted to a screeching halt, and we all had to understand how we can adapt and change during the pandemic, it became even more critical. So yeah, that's when it evolved into us doing the virtual mentoring and teaching too.
Yeah, no, that's great. And certainly one of the things that I wanted to explore with you during the show is, you know, what are the common misconceptions people have in this field, whether that's them appearing in videos or shooting them or, you know, using them for marketing. I suspect those of us who really have had no training in this probably are missing out somewhat in creating videos that perhaps aren't as powerful as they could be.
Good question. I think the first misconception that I've heard for a long time is, well, I have a nice camera. I can just do it myself. But oftentimes we all know that when you have a complicated piece of equipment, doesn't mean that you can instantly operate it properly, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So to be able to really understand the basics, and not just to assume that it's going to be easy to be in front of the camera talking to this nondescript object, this blinking light or something. It feels different, right? It feels different when you're talking to an inanimate object versus talking to a real life person.
Yep.
So to understand the qualities of that and that it takes training. For sure. You can't just jump into it and expect to get amazing results.
No. And I think, you know, you raised a really important point that has been occupying some of my time recently, which is this notion of how virtual interaction is really quite different from real life interpersonal reaction. Mm-hmm. You're not getting the same feeling. You're not getting, the brain's not interpreting things in exactly the same way. In fact, there's some emerging information that the cells in our brains, the mirror neurons, which really look for and extract subtleties like somebody's emotion and what they're saying and how they're feeling, just don't operate really at all in virtual. And I think that might be one of the reasons why a lot of this generation that have grown up, you know, spending hours and hours and hours on their screen, seem not to have some of those skills. And it may not be that, oh, watching a screen for 8 hours is necessarily bad, but it might be what they're not getting as a result of that, that is displacing the real life interaction, the playtime that is absolutely critical to understand social interaction and ourselves. So, you know, I think this is very important. And yeah, it does take skill to just look in the right place in the camera, not look away at your notes too much, and try to engage somebody who's really not there, that you imagine is there. But that's not easy.
Right. And to have the level of engagement, what you were mentioning, engage with somebody that's not even there, and to understand that that person is also distracted. So how can you continue to pull them in? Because they've got notifications over here, you know, they're dealing with their cell phone, things dinging at them. And you have to really take the time to pay attention to that and their needs as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand this and I sort of subscribe to it myself, but I think it also can be damaging when people say, well, like, I'm not making a Hollywood production. The production values don't really matter. You know, it doesn't. I understand that to a point, because, you know, if you're at home with your laptop and maybe a ring light, you're not going to simulate a Hollywood production. But on the other hand, that can allow you, can it, to get pretty sloppy in what you do. And I suspect you see that quite a lot.
Oh yeah, definitely. Even on Zoom calls. I mean, we've all seen, just, you can't even make out people's eye contact. They're backlit. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, my desk, that's the angle of my desk. What do you expect me to do? Move my desk? But we often, as how we show up, that's our brand recognition. That's our brand identity. So in any case, wherever we're deciding to turn our camera on, that is a reflection of the quality and the professionalism. Now, I'm saying this while my background is actually my daughter's bedroom. However, this is the best spot in my house to have my computer facing this window, because you can see the light, you know, is good. And I have some good light in my eyes and on my face. So it makes a difference to, you know, set yourself up for the best optimal place when you decide to turn your camera on.
Yeah, certainly. And of course, there are technical things that a lot of people who haven't studied this don't know about. And I think lighting is one of them, right? I don't think I understand anything about lighting, how it works, where it should work, what have you. I turn the lights on and off and see, oh, well, that looks better than this. But it's a big factor, isn't it? I mean, you know, you could be blocked out totally by a big white blur, or you could, you know, look like you're a ghost because you don't have any, you know, color to your skin, and a whole variety of things. So I'm sure lighting from a technical person's point of view is very important, right?
Yeah. And it makes a difference on something that is important, which is building trust. So eye contact, you know, you're looking at that dot, that mine's a green dot, and you're making eye contact with the viewer, and that is building trust. But if people can't see your eyes, they sometimes question, what is this person doing? Are they shady? Are they hiding something? What's going on? So the eye contact is really important.
Yeah. And a challenge, unless you get really experienced at it, is to actually look at the green light, and not look halfway down the computer, which is what I'm doing right now. But it is a challenge, because you're right. You've got to have eye contact. You don't want to be looking at the top of someone's head or seeing that. You really have to do that. And that is different. I mean, that is different than talking to a real life person. And you could be an extremely good person-to-person communicator. But you really have to get used to, at the very least, knowing where that green light is and looking at it appropriately, right? I think.
And you can choose to fall in love with it. I love green. Green means, it's also the color of the heart chakra. And I love connecting people's heart to their voice. Or you could imagine green means prosperity. Cha-ching! So the moment you look at that green dot, it's going to bring you abundance in all of the things that you're recording. It's going to help you connect with the right people and just fall in love with the green dot. Can't wait to talk to you today, green dot.
And you know, I got
just have some fun with it.
Yes, that's good. And that captures really, I think, part of your appeal is that you see video and photography not as just taking a picture or taking a video. You really see it as the essence of a relationship, part of somebody's being, their authenticity, and really trying to capture that rather than just, record this right now. For you, you look at your website, you look at the stuff you've done, you stress that. You stress that for you, the video and the photography is really about capturing the magic of relationships, of your moment, right?
Absolutely. Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. It is. It's really meaningful because your voice matters. And for all of the people listening to this, your voice matters. Your story matters. And it can become magical. It can become a transformational tool so that you can convey that to others and make a difference in their lives, make a difference in the world. And video is such an amazing tool that really propels your message like a ripple effect, because it's easier to share. It can be working for you 24/7. If it's mm-hmm. online, I mean, people can be watching it across the world and you never know who it can make a difference for.
Yep. No, that's true. And again, that's what I appreciate about how you practice this art, is that passion for making it as meaningful as possible. You know, it's not for you. It's not just, we'll just take this shot or what have you. You really try to extract the most meaning out of it. And I think that's why you're so good at what you do. So, you know, that's great. I know you also do a lot of, have done a lot of wedding photography, right? I said, what do you get, over 400 weddings?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Any divorces? You ever shot any divorces?
I haven't done any divorces, but I have done funerals.
Okay.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that wasn't a result of the divorce.
No. Yeah. 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 And I guess, you know, in terms of events, weddings probably are the one that capture the, you know, people's imagination in terms of photographs. We need to capture this moment for posterity forever. This is a magical moment. We have to capture it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it helps. It's, again, it's their story. It's their love story. Mm-hmm. And if that can be captured on camera, that can live on. That's part of their legacy. So when you look at photos I mean, I'm sure you have photos in your memory bank from past relatives that are no longer living, and they'll forever remain ingrained there in your memory. And that becomes so meaningful. It's part of the legacy. And if you have a physical print of it, that's even more important because you can always pick it up and just tap into the emotion of that image. The same way for people that have weddings and can look at their photo album, you know, if they have a wedding video, it's like really the video captures the emotion on a deeper level. The photos are amazing too, but they have different qualities, right? Of actually conveying the information. So I'm just fascinated by utilizing these tools to help people feel their best and really tap into the best version of them they can be.
Yeah, and I think that's really your point that what people would recognize, they may not have articulated it quite the same way you do, or you just did. You know, our history and our legacy, you know, from our family, where we're like as kids growing up, parents get, you know, older, different events. Those are actually really critical memories. They really are. They're really important. Help us define who we are, help us stay anchored to who we are, help us stay connected with some of the great things of the past. You know, it's very easy for us just to live in the present and forget all that. And then suddenly you come across a picture of you, you know, when you're 8 years old and, oh yeah, I remember that. You know, I remember doing that. And you'd forgotten that you even did it, you know?
Yeah.
Just like that. Perfect.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
That's my 2-year-old Ariel in the background.
That's great, Ariel. You came in at perfect timing. So it's more than just a photograph, right? It's more than a photograph. It's part of who you are. It's part of your identity. It's part of your ancestry. And perhaps we take that for granted a bit too much, you know?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. It's also a tool, yeah, to tap into. You mentioned as you look at your life and different milestones.
Right.
And one of my mantras that I believe in to the core is celebrate all successes. Celebrate all successes. Even, you know, for our business, we think about, oh, I have to call these people back, return these messages. And then you can celebrate when you do it. And that brings forth such an amazing set of positive hormones in your body, you know, and activate so much in you that it brings forth more celebration and more celebration. And the photos utilized as a tool is so powerful. So you can see yourself in different times of, you know, celebration, and those milestones can live on.
Yeah. And also part of that is over time, it's very easy for us to misremember things. You know, it's very easy for us to, you know, forget or actually misinterpret things. I remember I was a consultant for a big weight loss group for several years, and I remember one woman saying to me, I always thought that at my wedding I was sort of overweight and, you know, chubby and chunky, and then I saw a photograph of myself and I looked great, and it was completely different from what her memory was of that event. And so that was important. It was important to say, no, you weren't like that. You think you were, but you weren't. And I think there's a lot of that. You know, we imagine, oh, when I was 17 I looked like this. Well, maybe you did, but maybe you didn't, you know. And I think it keeps us connected to our life story. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's really, as we're talking about it, it is becoming to me more, so much more relevant than I think people think. Oh, here's some old photos. Yeah, those could be amazing parts of your life story that, you know, is easy to misremember or forget. So they are important. Fortunately, we have technology today where we can capture almost anything. What about the use of, the use of iPhones or phones generally to be able to capture something in the moment? Are there simple instructions that some simple rules you could tell people to do when they're doing that, even in the spur of the moment?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, if you're taking video, you need to do it horizontal. Okay. Horizontal, unless you're planning to be capturing video for a specific purpose, like Instagram or YouTube, a short video that does need to be shown vertically, or TikTok. But oftentimes you have a lot more capabilities when you're doing a horizontal video, because that's going to show up more professionally. And if you're editing it for your website, that's the format that you're going to be using. Definitely.
So that's just a simple but important one. Go horizontal when shooting video, right?
Yes.
Yeah, unless you wanted to, for some reason, get, you know, a picture of somebody jumping off the Eiffel Tower or something, you might want vertical, but for the most part, it would be.
Hopefully you're not doing, hopefully that's not happening.
Yes. Okay. So that's good. So stay horizontal for video.
Yes. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. And then listen to the background noises too. Is there wind? You know, my doorbell just rang. Okay. How can I be in a place that's going to have less noise distraction? And always test it out. Take a listen to, is there traffic going by? Do you live in a flight path? You can hear airplanes or something. So take a listen to the audio. I personally like to utilize it if I have a distraction come up. Mm-hmm. I often do this with my daughter because I can say something like, you know, I hear her crying in the background. If your clients are crying out for attention, or the airplane is lifting off, or you hear, if you want to take your business to new heights, just have fun with it instead of getting like, oh, nervous, or, oh no, you can see the level of stress on people's faces sometimes.
Right. And if you are, if, you know, your cleaner is doing some vacuuming, you know, if you want to clean up in your business, right? Yeah, no, that's good. Good. Impromptu utilization.
Improv utilizations.
Well, you're big into improv.
Yeah.
I think that's good that you are, because life is improv. And, you know, the sort of things we're talking about are shooting photos and videos while life is going on, not in a very rigid studio where everything is controlled. So
exactly.
I like that tip. Utilize the environment and the elements. Don't try and cut them out, right?
Yeah, because also some of those times it makes you more relatable. For instance, with my daughter, I did a whole series of Facebook courses at the beginning of the pandemic, and she's a little baby, and most of the time I just had her just right under the screen. I was just, you know, carrying her right here. She'd fall asleep in my arms and I'm teaching my class. But every now and again, you see like this little hand come up and it helps people also relate. It could entertain them. And it could also relate to other parents or understanding what it's like to go through as a life of a parentpreneur or someone working from home. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that the sort of technology and the culture we developed doing this in homes rather than studios, you know, does allow for that. And if you can be creative like you are in making it part of the video and making it part of the meaning of the video, which you do well, then yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because you're not going to be able to control everything. It just ain't going.
No. As much as we want to, yeah. It just adds a lot of extra stress.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get the cops to stop the traffic coming, you know. Probably not going to work very well. So you have to adapt to that.
Yes, absolutely. Adaptability. That's a key lesson.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's true, because it does. Yes, it certainly adds a sense of reality to it, you know, that it's not staged and something's happened and now you've responded to it in a way that is compatible with the message you're trying to get across, either about you or what you do or anything like that.
It adds a flair of humor too. And that is also going to engage with your viewers when you can add a little humor, something that gets them like, did he just say that? That is fun. And people will want to keep listening to you.
Let's talk about that, because that's actually obviously something that people shooting videos for businesses or promote themselves or whatever they do is, how do I keep people engaged? Because you do get those YouTube statistics, you know, and it's a little disconcerting when you see, oh, 50% of people dropped off after the first 13 seconds. So clearly you got to gauge them pretty quick, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to have a really good hook, really good hook, and let them know right away why they should be watching. So sometimes people just kind of willy-nilly get in, start talking about the video, start talking about who they are. But you have to stop and be like, why do people care? Why are people actually going to watch this video? And really, you have 2 to 5 seconds to hook them, which seems like crazy fast, but we all know people's attention spans are different than they used to be, for sure. And so taking a look at the hook and also the different things that you can do in a video to raise the stakes of the video or the story that you're telling. You can also give them, start with kind of a mystery, something that they're going to be curious about. That's a highly recommended way to start your video as well.
Yes, because it can be very disconcerting. You put all the, you know, time into planning this video, creating it, you gotta have you shoot it, and you see that most people don't watch 10 seconds. That can be a little disconcerting, but valuable information that tells you you could be doing better with your intro, right?
Absolutely.
And probably those first few seconds are the most critical part of the video in a way, right? Because if it's not good, people aren't going to watch the rest of it. And you may have some fantastic things to say, you know, at the 30-second or 1 minute mark, but if nobody's there to listen to it, waste of time, huh?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So getting to the heart of what is, you know, sometimes people talk about what's their pain, what's keeping them up at night, looking at that, stating that, and helping them connect with you and lean in and want to know more. Or like I said, a mystery, you could be sharing something confidential or something embarrassing, or, you know, really get engaged with the emotions. I like to also help people think of, you remember that movie Inside Out? Did you ever see that movie?
I don't think that I did. No.
But okay. It's an animated movie. Okay. I've watched it several times because I have 2 little girls. And in the movie, the main character, a young girl, actually has all of the emotions as characters in her brain. All of her emotions. So there was also some really old TV show. I think it was called Herman's Head, that had that had all of the characters, you know, anger, fear, you know, all of the joy in Inside Out. Joy was my favorite, of course, because my nickname's Joyful Jenny. So there you go. Yeah. So looking at all of the emotions, and if you think of which emotion am I going to activate in my viewer before you even make the video, that is a really great place to start.
Yep.
Are you going to be activating their joy or their anger and frustration so that they move forward and take action? Mm-hmm. Are you connecting to their fear or maybe an uncertainty they have so you can provide a solution? What is it that you are activating or connecting with in your viewer?
Yeah. And because that's fundamental to communication generally, a lot of people do what I call sort of egocentric communication. They're really not thinking about the other person or the audience. They're just thinking about what they want to say, but that's not effective. Okay, if you really want to be effective as a communicator, you have to think about not what you want to say, but what the other person needs to hear and adjust your message accordingly. And that applies to the visuals as well as the actual message, right?
Yes.
The thing has got to convey a particular tone and message that you want to elicit, you know, what you want to elicit in the viewer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not.
And that's a good point about the visuals too, about other ways that you can convey that with visuals in a video besides just you, you know, being a talking head and talking, but how you can, you know, you can use your facial expressions and your hand movements. And then of course you can add graphics and words on the screen and other funny little memes or things like that too.
Stuff you could do. Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, it comes down to this key point of communication is what is it you're trying to elicit in the viewer? What is it, right? And then you use as many of those tools or as relevant or possible, both in terms of what you say, how you say it, and any other tools and techniques, video tools and techniques that could emphasize those points, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and yes.
Yeah. And that's, I'm sure, the difference between someone like you as a very experienced, award-winning too, professional and somebody, you know, like me who doesn't really know about it, but knows that I can turn the camera on and talk and all of that. That's the difference, is that you as a professional will understand what needs to be delivered in content, non-verbally, verbally, visually, background, right? Anything, lighting, the whole thing. And so it's a lot more complicated than perhaps people would think, it seems to me. And somebody of your experience can really make a big difference, I think, in how people come across in videos or even in photos, but certainly videos. Certainly videos. You're trying to simulate being there, right? You're trying to simulate being there. That's not always easy.
That's true. Absolutely. And to bring people's level of confidence up. I think there's so many people out there that are so fearful of being in front of the camera that they are afraid to share their message, afraid to share it in any other way than maybe just typing it out. And we all know it's way more powerful to share it in a video than just words on a screen, right? So to be able to activate that confidence, that empowerment is really going to show up in so many ways in your life, whether, you know, obviously it starts with the video, but then it's continuing to the people that you meet, that you're talking with, your face-to-face, the relationships that you have in your life, just being able to really activate that, you know, that throat chakra mm-hmm. and being able to use your message to make a difference. That's what's going to make an impact. That's all part of your legacy.
Yes, no, that's exactly right. And again, I think there's a danger if, just like communication, if you don't know how to do that effectively, you may have the greatest message in the world, but if it's not eliciting the right response in people, right? It's a bit of a waste. You've lost that opportunity to influence people. And I feel that way about communication generally, and particularly amongst professionals. I don't mean actors. Obviously, they understand that, but I'm talking about professionals like health professionals, even educators, people in the business where they had not been taught even some of the basics that we've talked about in the last half hour. They've not been taught. They've not been taught how to communicate. And their expertise is lost if you can't do that. It's lost. And that's why I'm creating a communications course in helping people understand that it isn't just about what you want to say. It's about what you want the other person to think and feel as a result of your communication.
That's so good. Right? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. Now you do a whole variety of things. Obviously you do events, photos, videos. I'm sure you work with a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses who want to get, the appropriate message across in videos. And you also do these courses. Have I missed something out there, or are there other things that you do? Or are those really the main elements of your business?
Those are the main foundations. And I'm also planning a retreat.
Oh.
I'm planning a retreat for entrepreneurs to create a video live at a beautiful destination and be coached throughout the process and feel really supported and amazing and be their best self on their video and have it professionally edited for them and really guided through the whole process.
That's excellent. And I think a retreat's a great idea because then you've got the time to focus on this. You're not distracted. You're learning from a professional and you're being taught the specific skills on site where you can be properly taught rather than just being told or reading something, on the internet or in a book, this is what you must do. Well, that's fine. But telling ain't training, right? You've got to show people through the process and help them understand. So I really like the idea of a retreat where there's time specifically set aside to do that. And honestly, I'd see that as an enormously valuable thing for people to do, particularly if they're entrepreneurs or any business. You got to have a video presence, so you better make it good, right?
Absolutely. And if you could have one evergreen video that becomes an income stream, that's amazing. That's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Incredible. And when is that retreat? Have you got a date yet for it?
It's going to be next winter.
Okay.
The winter of 2023. Perhaps around New Year's time.
Okay.
That's a time of regeneration, revitalization, and the next level of you.
So if people want to find out all about you and the retreat, where do they go? I'll have this in the show notes, but tell them where they can find you.
Yes. My website is Your Dynamic Story. yourdynamicstory.com. And I would love to also gift your viewers, your listeners, a complimentary inspiration session, which is a 30-minute session, Zoom session with me, where you can get some insights about what you're doing for your marketing, and how you can gather some inspiration to elevate your message and get that out there in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to share. I will have a link soon about the retreat specifically, but that will be there on my website as well.
Okay. So that's yourdynamicstory.com, right?
That's right.
Excellent. And Jenny Edwards is the person you're looking for. And on that site, yourdynamicstory.com, you're going to get all the information. That's a very generous offer. Thank you so much to have an introductory session with people to assess, analyze, appraise what they need in terms of video material. That's awesome. That's really valuable. So I really, really appreciate that a lot. Before we go, any last words? This has been really good. I knew it would be. But any last thoughts or words?
Yes. Trust the process. We're all at different points in our path. And some of us have done a lot more marketing. And some people are just jumping into this whole world of marketing, and that's okay. Just take each day as it comes, trust the process, and take a look at what you're inspired by. Get some ideas from others, and also find a supportive environment. Your environment is really what's going to accelerate your success. So if you need help in an area, reach out for help. I'm available to help in any way that I can regarding video marketing and that nature. And if you are in the need of other experts, I might be able to give you some referrals too. But seek out additional assistance that is going to help you be your best self and feel empowered.
That's great. And you know, so in keeping with your philosophy and your mission really is to bring people really to life in this incredible way to capture the essence, not just shoot a video or take a picture. And I appreciate that. And I think that's what makes you as good as you are in doing this, because as I say, for you, this is more than 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's shoot. Okay, it's really about capturing the essence of the moment, which is, as we talked about earlier, one of the keys of this whole point of taking photos and videos. Jenny, it's been great to have you. Thank you for your generous offer to the listeners. I also know I need to thank your little girl there who's been sitting in on the podcast but behaving very well and very quietly. So good for her. That's awesome.
Yes, because she just fell asleep.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much. And we'll do it again sometime. But in the meantime, keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. It was a really great experience, Howard.
Thank you. Me too. Take care.